On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
That's right. It's live and local right here. John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk. Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. We have a Facebook page. Please go and search for Live and Local with John and Jay. You can also go and stream us live anytime or listen to the podcast at 991fmtalk.com.
The rain is getting heavier out there, folks, and the snow levels are going to drop overnight, and we could see 2 to 3 inches around Reno by tomorrow morning, 2 to 3 feet around Tahoe lake level, and you just know the chains are up for Donner. Yeah. And Highway 50, both.
We're going to be doing some traffic reports throughout the show, for sure.
I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs. Did you know KKFT has a staff historian, Phil Galbraith? I've never met anybody so fascinated with the history of our wonderful state. You're not even from here.
No.
But he brings books, history books, to when he's supposed to be working. He's reading.
I thought he was crypto mining.
He's reading history stuff on the web. He knows every. Folks, you got a question about history? You want to stump Phil? Feel free to call. He
yes.
knows
775-884-9910. But Phil, hey, it's our Phil of Reno this morning. Thank you for coming back in with us, sir.
Good morning. It is my pleasure. Believe me, I love being on this side of the board.
So why does the history of Reno fascinate you so much?
Two reasons. One, because how this town got started. On this side of the Mississippi, the way a town got started is pretty much cookie cutter. The farmers came in or the miners. Then the railroad came and the town took off.
Mm-hmm.
This town started with a bridge across a river.
Yeah.
And grew out of that. Now, that's fascinating. You got to love that.
Wouldn't you love to go back in time?
Didn't Julius Caesar do that same thing?
No.
He made a whole town over a bridge?
Is that a stumping question?
No, I don't know.
he thought about it. Well, did you know, I mean, we had not, just kind of not that far back, did you know about the car elevator parking garage that Harold's Club had?
I have video of that on Facebook.
You drive up, folks, yep. And this motor, like the Carvana ads.
Yeah, exactly.
And no other place but Reno did I ever see this. It was depicted in the movie, Five Against the House.
Yes, yeah, 1953.
And they showed it. It was there. And you pull up, and this elevator would lift up and put the car in this slot and this floor and the other
what?
Car, a different floor and different slot.
It would put it in a pigeonhole.
What?
A pigeonhole, that's the word.
I mean, what stopped that? Do you know?
I would imagine it was an early mechanical contraption, and they probably had issues with
it. Yeah, you couldn't do it with cars today because they did it with essentially a carpet-covered forklift with two tines went under your car, lifted it up, and then they would put it up and slide it in to a cubby hole.
Too much liability for insurance now.
Exactly. You know, you could squish brake lines and stuff. But on older cars that didn't have all that, you know, sensitive stuff on it, no problem.
That, you know, almost reminds me of like when I go to the Silver Legacy, it trips me out when I park on the floors. They have that little elevator thing that's like for the people that work there to ride between the parking garage. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
And when I take people to the Legacy or whatever and they look at it, they're like, what is that thing? You know, it looks like a chain or something going up. And I'm like, that's where the workers ride. And they're like, what?
Yep.
And then you see the people just latch onto it and go.
Phil, what are your favorite ghost towns?
Bodie?
You know, I hate to admit this. I've never been to Bodie. I have never
been there. Okay, so this summer, you are choiceless with me. We are going. We're absolutely... Cause, hey, listen, last time I went four-wheel off-roading was with this guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to, but tell us something.
I recommend Rhyolite, which is off down south there, off that town.
That town.
I went to one that was close to Alamo, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. You should have a four-wheel drive to get to it.
Yeah.
Wish Dawn was here. She could tell us.
Well, when I went to Rhyolite, there was the train station is still looking. Nobody's there. The old brick buildings are falling apart. It's amazing that at one time they thought these towns would last forever. But when I went there, when I first moved to Vegas in 84, I walked around Rhyolite.
Oh.
And there was one guy still living there. And he
one.
Had. And he yeah. I think he was at the
sounds
train
like,
station.
Sounds like Olinghouse.
And he had a rifle, and he didn't like people poking around.
Mm-hmm.
So he would shoot this rifle at your feet. This was back in 84. Well, now the artists have discovered it, and they have these wonderful ghost statues up at Rhyolite. The Bottle House still remains. It's down south from Hawthorne.
Something similar happened up at Sutro Tunnel when the otters discovered that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, there was like an old miner living up there, and he just...
That and it became a bit of a hippie commune back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the rainbow people or whatever it is?
Kind of, yeah. You know, they'd just be out of town. You know, this is back when Dayton was nowhere near.
Right.
And they were far enough out of town to not bother anybody, but they weren't so far away as to make it inconvenient for them to go get supplies, groceries, and what have you.
True. Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. So let's talk about this bridge. What bridge is it that made Reno?
It's not crossing, right?
Well, it's not the one down. It's not the Virginia Street Bridge, which is the most famous, is it?
Yes.
It is. Oh, wow. Okay.
It started out. Well, get me back up a little bit. The Truckee River, for people coming across from the east, was a blessing and a curse. It was a blessing because you finally got across the 40-mile desert, and you got to some water, some grass, or you could eat, your oxen could eat, but you had to cross the son of a gun. And
right.
Ox-drawn wagons in a river that's not controlled whatsoever, that was an axle-busting mess. A lot of people had the idea, let's build a bridge across the Truckee River, charge tolls, make a mint. And several people did that, including a man named Charles William Fuller. He did this in about 1859. Excuse me. And his bridge, do you know the old post office downtown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that's got the stores beneath it and stuff in the basement and all that?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah. Uh-huh.
The bridge was about halfway down its parking lot across the river.
Oh, okay.
And he just...
So it's not even there anymore, this original bridge.
Goodness, no. No, you'll find nails from that laying in the Truckee River all the way to the Pyramid Lake.
Here I was thinking it was the Sutro Bridge just because it was close to Commercial Row. That's what I was thinking would have been that first bridge.
No, the first thing in the area was that bridge.
Wow.
And he was ready to make his money, and it didn't come to fruition. Stoning Gates had another bridge, what is now near modern-day Glendale. In that area by the Truckee River. And they were doing great business until a flood happened around 1860. It washed out both Fuller and the Stoning Gates people. And when the Stoning Gates people went to go and rebuild, they realized, this is not a good place from an engineering point of view to build a bridge, and they just gave up.
Right.
Excuse me. Fuller rebuilt his bridge, and he put in a small motel on the south side of the river. And waited for the money to come rolling in. It never did. If he'd have waited about 6 more months, he'd have been a rich man, and he would have been the town founder and not Myron Lake, who bought him out sometime in 1860, 1861.
Oh, wow.
Wow, and look at us now. I came here in 76 when 395, which is now 580, only went as far south as Plum.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the day, it was a huge, big deal, when they got it down to Moana. They opened up the Moana exit around 78 or 77.
Wow.
And McCarran back then, it was only a half circle with no traffic lights. Motorcyclists loved it. I mean, they could tool around on this half circle. And downtown, let me tell you, folks, downtown, people dressed up to get drunk.
Absolutely. Suits, ties, nice dresses.
They were walking on a sidewalk with a drink on their hand, all dressed up with their date. Who was also all dressed
How
up.
How in 3 decades did we go from that to this?
Well, they banned walking and drinking downtown.
They did.
After two New Year's Eve riots. Were you in the middle of that, Phil? I was.
No, I avoided that.
Well, I tried to.
There was New Year's riots?
Oh, yeah. It was
for
bad.
What?
They were. Well, this was the day when you could drink openly walking around downtown. Now it's banned. Vegas, you can walk their downtown.
So it was just a drunken riot? It wasn't like people were upset about Rodney King getting
beaten up?
Yeah,
people were throwing rocks and everything. Okay. I remember parking at the First Interstate parking garage, and I said to my wife at the time, I said, what is that weird smell in the air? We turned around the corner of Virginia, and it was mayhem. The smell was tear gas.
It started out
smashing windows.
It started out as two people fighting over one girl.
Oh, really?
And it grew because somebody got hit. That shouldn't have been hit, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. Like the typical TV fights, bar brawls.
Well, Craig seems to know a lot about this.
Shut down downtown Reno.
The first one, I was actually working in dispatch for Reno Police and Reno Fire. So
People would drink.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People would drink so much. I remember I had an early morning New Year's Day radio shift, and I would be biking through downtown Reno at 5 in the morning, and the casinos owned stretchers. And New Year's Day, they had these stretchers lined up outside the Calneva and Harrah's, and they put people who passed out on these stretchers to sleep it off.
Yep.
It's like that was a perk in
this
town.
They give them IVs too.
No.
Seriously. I asked that because I've been to parties like with paramedics and fire personnel,
yeah.
And they will literally sit there, get drunk as can be, and then they just inject. They have like an IV that they put into themselves. They get undrunk and then they get drunk again. I've watched it happen many times.
Heavens. Sounds like downtown Vegas.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, it was unruly. Let me just say that. Well, anyway, we have to do a break.
Yeah,
look at
do.
This. Phil always on the job telling us it's time for a
and
break.
And we're staying on time, actually, believe it or not, this time. Last time he was on while you were gone on vacation, John, we talked and talked and talked too much. So
well,
it's
folks,
good to
you
stay
can
on time.
Call 775-884-9910.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to be right back here on Live and Local with John and Jay and Phil on 99.1 FM Talk, Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
92.3 is FM Talk.
It's John Potter with Jay Biggs every Saturday morning right here on this radio station. It's raining pretty hard at the moment, and that is going to turn to snow when the snow level gets down to 5,000 feet later tonight, and then below that, which means we're expecting about 2 to 3 inches of snow by tomorrow morning right here in around Reno, Tahoe. About 2 feet lake level, and a lot more up on the mountains. So you can expect
lots of good snow. Well,
travel sucks.
Yeah, but also lots of good skiing.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I'm supposed to announce that Christmas parade. I'm waiting on Omar to get back with me from the chamber down there in Urington today, but it is not looking good. I got to be honest with you, man. And even if it just stuck with what it is. You know, I don't know if it's the best day for the parade or not.
They canceled the Ranchera holiday walk around today. I was so excited to go there.
If they speed up their parade and do it at like 15 miles an hour and get it done in like 10 minutes.
You know,
right.
I'm going to tie in your historian, Reno historian stuff with parades, because the one reason we have the train cover was because the train, before you got here, Phil, mm-hmm. The train would cross Virginia Street. It seemed like it did all the time.
Yes.
And you would be parked at the crossing right past where Herald's Club was, mm-hmm. where the Reno Arch was.
Exactly,
was where
yeah.
the train would cross all the yep. time. People, the train would take its time so much that people would be stopped, and I did this once. Oh, the train just started. They'd run into Herald's Club to make a fast bet and leave the car empty.
You're kidding.
No, back to parades. The parades would stop because a train was going through. Now, despite all this, I didn't hear any complaints about that train crossing. It was just part of Reno, but they had to spend millions of dollars.
That retrack project.
I kind of missed that train, which is weird.
The bigger we got, the worse traffic got downtown. I used to live on Chisholm Street, right by the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. It's much longer street now. But at the time, I'd be in my apartment in the middle of the night, and a train would stop, which isn't that big a deal in the middle of the night. But when it would start again, one car would hit then another one, bang, and then another one, bang. And you could literally stand outside and hear it go across town, bang, 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 bang.
Right, right. No, you're right. Absolutely. I remember, I even remember seeing the retrack project being built. My first time in Reno was 97.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I know it's weird for me to say I miss the train stopping traffic, but, you know, it was just our town. I do miss it. Do you ever travel to see the historic spots? Because I'm driving around 93 or 95, these highways, and you see the little sign up there that mm-hmm. this is a Nevada historic spot. I feel so bad when I'm on the rural roads, especially, and I pass by all these historic markers. Just drive right by without learning something. I got to change that. I bet you stop, don't you?
I do. I'm annoying in that regard. I have this goal. I have a book of those historic markers.
Are there any really good ones around here?
Oh, absolutely. Out in front of the Atlantis.
What?
Out in front of the Atlantis. That's where the fording road was for the pioneers coming across. And They have a beautiful monument right out in front of the Atlantis on Virginia Street.
It's not the geysers or like what is it there? I have no clue. Where is it like located at?
Right in front of the casino, next to the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
On Virginia Street.
Oh, wow.
That's so weird. I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's not one of those big blue Nevada-shaped ones.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's more of a plaque marker kind of thing, like they have in Dayton.
Yeah, and it's not on the casino side of the street. It's on the... It's right directly across the street, like if you're going up the elevator.
Oh, by the bus stop and...
Yeah.
And the sushi bar. Okay. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. Because I was just... Here I am on Google Maps. I'm like, I'm going to find this dang thing if I...
I don't think you'll see it from the air.
Well, no, you can do street view.
Oh, okay.
You can do street view on Google Maps. Yeah. What?
What? Phil didn't think
about it? Well, the maps I'd look at are 60 years old anyway.
Right. Well, it's a darn shame because I just came from a rural trip. You know, my wife worked all her life here as a doctor. She never drove east on 80, never drove east on 50. So that's what we did and everything. I've always loved the town of Austin and Eureka. Now you can consider Austin a ghost town. Even the turquoise shop was closed. Nothing was open. I said, what happened? They said, well, two things happened. The younger generation is into speed, and so they take 80. Right. Yeah, they don't really appreciate the little stops on slow-moving Highway 50. And number two, they said COVID killed it. COVID killed the activity
towns. I'm sure it also didn't help, literally, that the younger people were into speed in these little towns.
Right. Well, enough said.
The other one. All right. Well, there we go. So, Phil, we need to talk about this because I've said for a long time that, you know, it's good to do nostalgia about Rito because, you know, you guys know a little bit more about it than me. But a lot of the folks, in fact, like half the folks that live in the Reno Sparks Metro now are not from here. They did not grow up here. They have no clue about all these things we're talking about. So it's nice to talk about progression and maybe where things came from or some interesting things that people could go and see maybe that they don't know about, such as this plaque. I've been looking around for it here on Google Maps. I haven't found it yet, but I will. But what I'm saying is that I think it's really important to tell folks about some stuff about Reno they may or may not know that is important to know about. So what do you have on the plate for us?
Well, I told you about the bridge and how they were put it across the river to make money.
Uh-huh.
And how Myron Lake bought out Charles Fuller in around 1860, 1861.
Lakes Crossing.
Yeah. That's what it became, Lakes Crossing. I didn't think to bring it with me.
We should have been Lakes Crossing, Nevada, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a newspaper clipping from the Virginia Territorial Enterprise talking about how Myron Lake bought it, and he's looking for your business now. And that was about the time Virginia City's silver production really started to take off. They were pulling out a lot of silver already, but around 1861 is when they start to really hit it big.
And
Virginia City grew, and they needed stuff. Not only to take silver out, but to bring in supplies and people and food and all that stuff. And here was Myron Lake getting tolls as they crossed his bridge to go across the Truckee River to get to Virginia City on the Virginia Highway, hence Virginia Street. And that's where he made his mint. Fast forward a few years, and Abraham Lincoln wants to get the Transcontinental Railroad going. And four guys in California, the Big Four, as they call them, wanted to get trains going eastward from Sacramento.
Manifest destiny.
That's it.
Well, that's a heck of a hike over the Sierras, so especially figure that out.
Especially when you're trying to tunnel through solid granite.
Well, I mean, you see the Truckee train tunnels now, which you can go hiking in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so those are the ones they built, right?
Yes, not the ones they use today, but yes.
Right, the old ones that are abandoned that you can do the hiking in the mountains.
Exactly, yes. And they needed not only a place on this side of the Sierras for their train stops, because they needed to refuel and rewater trains before they started making that nasty climb into the mountains, but Virginia City needed a train to go over the Sierras, and you are not going to put a train station in Virginia City. The whole place is nothing but one big hill. Going to Carson City was not really much of an option either, because you'd have to go over Hennis Pass, and that's 8,000 feet, and you'd have snow problems all the way through June. So they came over what later became Donner Pass, and they needed a place, and here was Myron Lake with a whole bunch of land and nothing else.
They needed a meal too, right?
Yep, they did. Excuse me.
That's why only half the Donners came over.
Boo. Jay Biggs, I had nothing to do with that.
Well, anyway, you drive these dirt roads, and it's amazing that before vehicles and trucks and everything, how they were able to transport.
Oh, I know it.
I mean, hundreds of miles from one, you know, mining town to where the railroad was.
And what basically is just an oversized wagon.
Yeah, exactly. Did you know, and some of these towns were so alive back in the day, did you know, of all things, Pioche had a radio station?
No,
I couldn't believe it. It was an empty storefront of Pioche. Population, 600, mm-hmm. I think, had a radio station. The way my career's going, I'd be doing the morning show there.
You'd just always be going, and here's another request from Larry over on C Street.
He's holding up a sign now.
From the cafe across the street, we'll be doing a broadcast. Okay. Well, we got a break for Fox News now. Phil, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, man. Getting our Phil of Reno again, and it would be nice to have you back in, you know, maybe bi-monthly or something, you know, just when we need something, some fill-in time.
Yep.
Well, fun's intended.
Before you take off.
In the afternoon, you can catch me. Yeah.
Before you take off, Phil. Our listeners in Yerington say, Phil's history is great. Tell him thanks. They love listening to you.
Oh, well, tell the people of Pison Switch they are very much welcome.
Yes, the Pison Switch area.
Pison Switch, yes.
Poison
Switch. He'd be a hit in Pioche, folks.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right.
Ba-dum-bum.
We're going to break for Fox News, and we'll be right back here with more on Live and Local with John and Jay. Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Well, they're calling it the big one. The winter storm bearing down on northern Nevada is snowing on the Sierra right now. Travel warnings posted now for I-80, Highway 50. Chains. Heavy rains are rolling in, and the snow level here in town is going to hit 5,000 feet tonight. And so much of this is going to be rain for us, but you can expect the snow overnight and by tomorrow morning, maybe 2-3 inches on the ground on your street, folks. Tahoe, 2 to 3 feet.
I could go without that.
Yeah,
that would be nice. And again, supposed to announce the Yerington Christmas Parade tonight. Me and my good friend James Lee Green, is going to be out there doing that announcing. And John, you're actually going to be out doing some speeches in Yerington in the next month or so.
I'm still doing speeches. Yeah. Well, I love it.
Well, at least you're not speechless.
Yeah.
There we go.
Anywhere where I could talk without Jay interrupting me.
Right.
I'll be there.
Well, that's why you're not signed up for the Christmas parade. It's the Jay Biggs show, just like the Nevada
that's
Day
right.
parade was.
Folks, blowback continues over the deal the administration made to release Brittany Griner from a Russian prison, leaving Paul Whelan behind. Whelan is a United States citizen and a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. And folks, if the Russian charges of espionage he was convicted of are accurate, then he was working for our government.
Right.
If the charges are false, then he's being wrongly imprisoned.
Exactly.
The question is, why was a person imprisoned for 9 months released over a person imprisoned for nearly 4 years?
Because she's an African-American lesbian.
There's no transparency from the White House on why, but one of our countrymen is continuing to languish in a Russian prison, and this is no time to celebrate. You want to destroy a country? Leave a Marine behind.
Absolutely. And that's what's going on right now. Sleepy Joe is, man, I seriously, at this point, I do like to stay independent and not say you got to be right or left, you know, or any of that stuff. But if you are just buying into anything this Biden administration is doing, I've got to question your ability to think right.
Did you know this may be the first time the media was ever interested in a WNBA trade?
Dude, the WNBA players don't even make as much as the... Well, seriously, don't even make as much as the mascots for NBA. Like,
well, I'll be serious.
Cares.
We traded a pothead who asked the WNBA to stop playing the national anthem at her team's basketball games for a merchant of death, a basketball player for a murderer who is probably working on killing Ukrainians right now. And it is sad to see the White House kowtowing to Putin, this evil man. This is a time when this despot is losing and on his knees. Get two people instead of one. I don't understand. It's no wonder Putin thinks he's the strong.
Listen, I will say, just as someone involved in the cannabis industry and whatnot as well, that if you go to another country, use your damn brain. Do not take products that are going to get you imprisoned.
Well, there's another guy. There's a guy in Russia, a Russian prison, who's behind bars for cannabis, the same thing. But he's been there over a year and a half or 2 years. So it's kind of how
they choose.
What are
they locking these people up for this for? It's like they're going to giggle and eat all the cookies. How horrible.
Well, I don't know what else we could ever do to look weaker. But this administration just keeps trying. So
you're right. I mean,
we try to keep the show local, but sometimes we just can't control ourselves.
Right. Well, yeah, there is so much, only so much you can do about that. So anyways.
Can I
go ahead.
Go on about Walmart here with the CEO. The CEO says all the retail theft of Walmart may lead to raised prices and store closures. Target is also claiming to suffer from a massive surge in customer theft. Walmart wrote off over $3 billion in a year in theft and breakage. This was last year. I keep hearing about more shoplifting, but I don't shop much, and I haven't seen it. But many people have told me they have. Have any listeners witnessed more stealing at stores? I'm really interested in hearing this, how widespread it is. Is it that frequent?
It happens,
Even here. 775-884-9910. Have you, Jay?
I can't say for sure that I've actually seen people stealing. I mean, I have at stores before in my life, but not necessarily Walmart. Now, here's what I will say about that, though. It would be easy to steal from Walmart if for instance, I wanted to.
Well, they make it easy with a
self-checkout. Then they have the person ask you for your receipt. And I'm sorry, at that point, I'm just walking right past you. No, you don't get to see my receipt. If you guys wanted to see my receipt, you would have checked me out, and you would have had someone right there at the checkout instead of having me do the work. So I just, when they say, can I see your receipt, I just walk right past.
The funny thing about this whole thing is the self-checkout, loss prevention in their office, they have a bank of monitors, and they see you checking out from above. They see you scan the items, and it shows up on their display what items you have or have not scanned. So you scan it, it shows up on their display as an item in the list where they also have you on video. So if they see stuff in your basket that doesn't get scanned, they could actually, if they wanted to, stop you going out the door. Or technically it's not shoplifting.
Isn't there a dollar amount?
Well, no. Craig, I heard these cameras are now smart cameras.
Yep.
And you'll see something on the screen. If you do something like
that. Well, it's like the TSA is Walmart now getting ready to go to the facial recognition stuff, going through TSA screening points. So, I wouldn't doubt that Walmart has it.
Getting rid of these cashiers makes it a lot easier to shoplift. We fired the gatekeepers, the cashiers who stopped the theft, and we're mystified as to why we are losing so much.
They didn't actually fire a lot of them. No, they didn't fire the cashiers. They just moved into the department that fills your grocery orders and takes it out to your car into the delivery system. They just reallocated them to a different thing. But you're right.
It leaves
people stealing from the stores. And in the Bay Area, if any of our listeners, which I hope everybody does, listen to Armstrong and Getty, there are stores where people walk in with giant trash bags and sweep everything off the shelves where they're going and then walk out the door with it.
The one employee in charge of the 15 self-checkouts can't do the job. And Walmart even calls checking out with a cashier assisted checkout now. With checkout, which sounds like a subtle way of discouraging it.
Sounds like assisted living.
Some stores, like a supermarket here in town that I know, they have carts where the front wheels lock if it leaves without going through checkout. The wheel stops working.
Isn't that just
normally what happens with these carts? I'm just saying.
When I was in Missouri, we had a place called Aldi's, and you had to put a quarter into the cart for it to work.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did. And the carts were all chained up at the front, and you go in, you put a quarter in, put it in the slot, and the cart releases, and you can use it.
Well, what Craig was mentioning about San Francisco, they legalized theft No charges if it's under $950.
Well, cocaine's legal there.
And the stores are legalizing it, too. Most every store has a policy. If you see theft, and I mean people filling a cart with meat and expensive cheese or stealing new grills from
they
the outside,
stop,
do
yeah.
not interfere. Yeah, well, no, that's a policy. They tell this to their employees. Let them go and inform the manager after they're gone.
And it's a double liability if they do stop them. That's why they're saying that, because if the employee gets hurt, it's under workman's comp and liable yeah. there. But if say, somebody's you're stopping somebody who's shoplifting or just blatantly walking out the door or something, you stop them and touch them in any way, shape, or form, that's assault. So now that employee gets to have assault charges pressed against them.
So we're just making it easier for yep. the criminals, and we, the law-abiding shoppers, we're the ones ending up paying the price when they raise the prices for this loss that they have. I mean, Walmart, okay, another thing, Walmart has huge loss prevention and security cameras. They're still getting killed by thieves. And for those who say, well, good, maybe this will bring back our small local business shops, the mom and pops have fewer resources to spot the thieves and less ability to absorb the losses. Thieves really don't care where they steal from, and they may even think it's easier to steal from the small businesses
I think that,
than the larger ones.
Walmart made public, I think, this for one what I'm not sure which year it was, but they estimated that they had over $1 billion in shoplifting in loss.
Over $3
billion.
Oh, $3
billion.
Year.
Okay.
Yeah, $3 billion. Target had a huge amount, too. Remember the old days? When the judges would sentence a thief to stand in front of the store with a sign that said they stole from it.
I was a kid.
Remember newspapers?
Happening, yeah.
Remember newspapers listing the local thieves on mm-hmm. a daily police well, report column
yep.
in the paper?
Had
when
the police
I, when I was in
so
fifth grade.
It's, I guess, too much shaming for these days, I guess. Remember what? Oh, here's another one. Our local stores, they would post a picture of a shoplifter by the cash register.
Or, they still or, have them in a lot of the convenience stores.
I
they
haven't
have like
seen
a Polaroid.
One of those for a long time.
Or if you wrote a bad
I heard
check
about one store.
At every check stand register, there was photocopies yeah. of the checks. Do not accept a check from this individual. You know, and showed the bad check that was up there. So everybody, not
I
just
about,
the cashiers could see it, but all the customers that were walking through your line could see it.
We had one store that had to put up a copy of the crook's picture because the crook came in and stole the original.
What?
No, I'm not joking.
I mean, that's a double whammy right there on the steal.
Thieves are thieves.
I guess so. I mean, oh, who knows?
The disturbing, most disturbing part to me is you go on social media and the attitude is predominantly good. They should pay their workers more. Walmart drove mom and pops out of business, and there's somebody will say, oh, well, people are desperate. Walmart had record profits or something like serves them right. Have you seen the price of eggs lately? Well, what do you think prices are going to do making up for the $3 billion loss? Companies pass it on to the consumer. But who are all these people who grew up without learning a basic golden rule? Stealing is wrong.
Thou shalt
so many
not
people
steal.
Have no concept of that anymore. It's frightening.
And as Craig just said, it's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, just add it. Okay, I'm through.
Right. Well, if only the big corporations could listen to that, too, and not steal from us by raising those prices so much.
Oh,
but
see,
then again,
now you're one of them.
But then again, well, no. But then again, what hurts that is people stealing. So, it goes to
the
consumers.
We're the ones paying in the end.
Yeah, yep. We are. We are paying in the end, literally. All right. Well, that being said, we're going to be right back here. We got more to talk about this morning. Still hoping to hear from the Nevada Railroad Museum and Dan Thielen. He was supposed to call in at 10:30, so hopefully we'll get a hold of him here shortly.
Yeah, and you can call us at 775-884-9910.
That's right. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now on KKFT.
You see, folks, in this PC world, it's not called a crime anymore, shoplifting. It's undocumented shopping.
I didn't think about that one.
It's disturbing that more areas of government are not even pursuing thievery anymore.
More people keep going to that free 99 store.
Why do people who have a cop behind them get more nervous than a shoplifter does at Walmart?
Why?
I don't know. That's what bothers me.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's funny it's kind of a joke, kind of not. I will tell you right now, when I get pulled over, mm-hmm. it occasionally happens. Even if I'm not doing anything, I'm still handing the license to the cop like it's shaking. Like I'm like, you know, and the cop's got to be like, is this guy nervous or something? Like,
you know, in your mind is next stop Alcatraz. I know.
Well, for me, maybe. No, I'm joking. It just depends how fast I was speeding. But that being said, we are going to talk a little bit more with Phil Galbraith. Of course, my trusty sidekick throughout the week with traffic here. But we do have a caller right now on the line. It is Tony, and Tony's from, are you from Russia or you want to talk about Russia, Tony? Just all I see is Russia up there. Tony?
Yeah, no, I'm not from Russia, no. I'm
yeah, you don't sound Russian at all, man. I don't hear you, Putin.
Right, well, so.
Right.
So
what's going on, Tony?
The thing about the Marine, this might have something to do with him not being the first one out. He did have a dishonorable discharge.
Right. Right. Well, it wasn't an actual dishonorable discharge. It was like the level below
misconduct.
That.
Yeah, right. The misconduct discharge.
But, do we know what it was about?
I think he stole something. Because I'm not sure he stole.
You can still have drug charges and be the fire chief in Sparks. So it doesn't, doesn't matter.
Darn, if he had shoplifted, he'd be free.
right. Actually, yeah, he should just shoplifted.
Up to $1,000 worth of stuff, at least.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Tony, yeah, man, thank you for listening this morning. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. And please, always call in anytime you have something to say. We'd love to hear from you, brother.
I'm listening here as I'm working out at the gym.
Nice, dude. Where are you at?
South Reno Athletic Club.
South Reno. All right. Nice, man. South Rack. All right. All right. Well, you enjoy yourself, Tony, and your workout. We're going to keep you laughing here. A little bit more of your Phil of Reno right now with us here in
the
studio.
I was going to say he works out at the Rack Club. I joined UFC, I think. The USC, I was at European Fitness.
You joined the UFC gym over there by the Walmart?
Well, it comes with my Senior Care Plus. It's one of
the UFC
perks.
Gym?
Yeah.
So you're going to put me in like an arm bar? Or?
Pretty soon. But why is everybody at the gym asking me why I'm sitting still on a stationary bike? I'm going downhill, dude. Mind your mind your business. You know what? I first joined the gym. I paid for my membership, and the bank called me and asked if my card was stolen. They say, you? In a gym?
Right.
It's
not normal.
No,
well,
I'm
hold
not.
On a minute. We all know John likes to ride bikes. Why would you ride a stationary bike? Honestly, unless it was so freaking cold outside.
Well, I will say it's my favorite exercise because they have the TV in front of them.
But it doesn't stop you, though, man. I mean, look, you rode your bike today.
Yeah.
It's literally sleeting.
Kind of regret that.
Well, I'll give you a ride home. I'm just as your friend.
No, I don't want to leave your bike in the studio.
Yes, you will have to leave it there, but I don't want you getting
pneumonia.
Oh, I
don't trust it at this place. I'm sorry, man.
Right.
We know Blake.
Right. Yeah. Anyways, well, the good news is he's in Tennessee right now, so there's no way he's going to get it.
You know, somebody here stole my copy of Microsoft Office, and I want to say I will find you. You have my word. Come on, that was good.
I love how you excel at humor.
That's,
I really do.
Come on, that's Geek Squad humor. You know they're laughing.
Who is they?
You have my word.
It's the word.
Microsoft.
We have John Potter's word on it, that's for sure.
And people wonder why they let me go.
You know, I'm still trying, who knows? I'm not sure. Who knows? We are still trying to get the final word from Omar Rodriguez out in Smith & Mason Valley.
You are really panicking over this Yarrington parade.
I want to know. I mean, here we are. It's 11 o'clock. It doesn't look great.
If the parade was in Reno today, I would say
it's not happening.
I would say not.
I was watching the weather radar and seeing that Yarrington is fairly clear right now. They say, our listeners in Yarrington say, it's just really, or to put it the way they said it, hella windy, but no rain yet.
Yes. It's totally dark and gray here.
Right. Well, we've got 6 hours before the parade, so I'm just, you know, and you know how the weather changes by hour here in Reno. So I'm just,
if you don't like the weather in Reno, just wait 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I will say the weather's a little bit more stable out in Smith and Mason Valley. At least when I was living out there, I experienced it like that. So I'm hoping, my fingers and toes are crossed, that tonight goes down right. But, you know, am I going to drive 3 hours round trip and go get pneumonia out in snow and rain? No, that's not happening.
I was, I may have been half asleep, but I went to the National Weather Service website and they flat out said travel is going to be rough. And I thought it said impossible.
Impassable.
Now, Jay thinks it really said impassable.
But I think it's both, really, because if it's impossible, it's impassable over the past.
I've never seen the Weather Service say travel's impossible. That's a first for me. I've been here most of my life. It may have been impassable.
Well, they've never tried to get a plane between Reno and Sacramento.
Ah.
That's about impossible.
Well, the hard part's pulling it over Donner Pass.
Right. Right. Okay.
We're surrounding you, Jay.
Yeah, I guess so.
With bad puns.
I guess so.
I want my Microsoft Word.
It's okay. Hey, Omar just called me, but I'm on the air, so he can message me if he's listening on 92.3. I'll give you an update on that parade in Urington. Either way, it's live and local with John and Jay.
Gonna break for Fox News.
That's right. Rare stones in Nevada.
Oh, cool.
That's coming up next with Blake Davidson.
Talk.
That's right.
Rock hounding.
99.1 FM Talk, Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3.